But in Psalm 42, we're going to read the entire psalm. It's just 11 verses. I'm not going to preach all of it. But I always like to, one of the things that I say, the reason we do the Bible reading time, sometimes I like to read entire passages because many times God will speak to your heart through something I don't even address. That's the power of reading the Word of God. And I've been saved since 93. And I know what a fight it is sometimes just to open the Bible for yourself. I mean, you can be saved several years and, you know, and not even open the Bible for yourself for weeks at a time because the cares of this life. And, cause, you know, it's funny. Satan is, you know, he's so subtle. He's crafty. We can go through that phase. You know, we read it just to, hey, I read the Bible. And then we say, then he's so crafty this way. Well, I don't want to just read it just to read it. And so we get hung in this middle. Well, I don't want to read it because I have to. And then we kind of, we even stay out of it altogether. Whereas the reason we read it is because, he loves us and he wants to speak to us, you know. And so, I'm going to read a few verses here and just look at a few of them. But I'm going to preach what I'm going to call this, my prayer unto the God of my life. My prayer unto the God of my life. And I really hope, I don't know what your prayer life is, but my prayer is that God will use this to encourage your prayer life. And because, I'm convinced that the prayer life is the lifeline to a life of faithfulness. You know, because faithfulness, I think many times seems like an impossibility when we aren't in communion with God through prayer. And I hope you can see some things through the life of David and this passage here. And to me, this was amazing. And so I really hope God will bless you through it. And so I asked that as I read the scriptures and that as we pray in just a moment, that each one of you will sincerely, seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit and try to give your focus and attention to the Lord. And because, I know it's just me and same old me. But, God did some amazing things just with some dirt. Amen. You know, and I'm not saying I'm amazing, but he made life out of dirt, you know, so, even though it's just same old me, he can make life happen through dirt today. And so, so ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and seek to be yielded unto him and ask the Lord, your Father, your Savior, to allow you to hear in such a way that your response will be toward him and that you can just, what I really want to happen is that somehow you could place yourself, even though we're all together in one service, that as your heart seeks the Lord, you'll be drawn into a room alone with just you, yourself, and God. And you will have a communion with him that will cause you to go out into your own quiet place and have a communion to where you walk away from there knowing that you heard from the God of the universe. That's my prayer today. And I believe with all my heart that God can do that through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. But in Psalm 42, beginning verse number 1, notice that the word of God, that it does say this. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. Now that's, to me, that's a rather amazing statement there. Now he's obviously going through some difficulty. When you think of meat in the Bible is that which sustains and strengthens. And David says, the only thing that's given me strength and sustaining me is my tears. You know, generally when you think of tears, you think of weakness and being broken down. But David said, no, that's what's holding me together. That's strengthening me, sustains my tears day and night. While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And that's the world. That's the message all over the world right now. Anybody believe in God today? Amen. The world is saying, where is your God? And in fact, the world is saying your God doesn't exist. I mean, everything about, if you turn on anything, even programs or things that advocate good social help, it's encouraged to be done without your God because they don't believe your God can help anything that is on the earth right now. And that, by the way, is my God too. when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. Now this verse 8 is what touched my heart yesterday and really got me looking at this. The Lord will command his loving kindness. You know, sometimes we think of somebody giving a command. We sometimes have a negative connotation toward authority. And most in our culture today don't want anybody to tell them what to do or have anybody to rule over them. In fact, that's what, when Jesus was giving an illustration about the householder, he left people in charge. Their response was, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's the world's great fear of Jesus Christ, because nobody's going to tell me what to do. We will not have Jesus Christ reign over us. But he said, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. And here's where I get the message. And my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword, with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Father, in Jesus' name, thy will be done. Amen. Now, in verse number 8, David, the psalmist here, makes this statement. He says, and my prayer unto the God of my life. So we're going to notice three things about this prayer, and then we're going to go back and add something to it. But first, I want you to notice number one, when he says, my prayer unto the God of my life, he says, I will say unto my rock, honestly, that I think he has forgotten me. I will say unto God my rock, honestly, that I think he has forgotten me. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. And notice also, and my prayer unto the God of my life. And now he said, this is what I'm going to say during my prayer. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? That's part of this is prayer. Number two, my prayer unto the God of my life, I will ask God, why am I mourning because of an enemy that he has already defeated? I will ask God, why am I mourning because of an enemy that he has already defeated? Because notice what he says here in the last part of verse number 9, why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And verse 11, skip down, he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And so he's being real sincere here. He's mourning, and he said, why go I mourning? You know, because of the oppression of the enemy. David's had victories in his life. In fact, if we took time to journey through the Old Testament, there are many battles that he didn't have to fight. And God's people didn't have to fight. One story I can think of is said, the Lord will fight for you. Hold your peace. You know, in fact, a few Psalms over, and Psalm 60, we looked at this verse, and I think Psalm 118 not too long ago, because it says the exact same statement. But in Psalm 60 and verse 12, through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. God does the treading. So David, in his prayer to the God of his life, he says, I will ask God, why am I mourning because of an enemy that has already been defeated? And again, that kind of goes to the illustration that I mentioned earlier about if you're watching a sporting event and you know that your team won. You know, it's amazing. You know, since I'm such a competitor, I've watched a few games that I've seen in the past, and when it gets to that pivotal moment and it looks like the game's going to be decided, I still have this kind of racing in my heart, even though I know the victory. But I'm thinking, man, you just kind of get on the edge of your seat. And sometimes you watch a movie more than once, and it's amazing how you know it's going to happen, and you get scared at that same part again, or you kind of get on edge, and you know what's going to happen because you've already watched the whole thing, you know. And so David is saying, he's saying this to God, I will ask God, why am I mourning because of an enemy that he has already defeated? Because, verse number three, I will be honest that the words of the enemy are affecting me more than the words of God. I will be honest that the words of the enemy are affecting me more than the words of God. Notice what he said in verse number 10. As with a sword in my bones. Now first thing, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharp in the two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. But David says, as a sword in my bones. Ever been hurt and you just feel like it just been jarred to your bones? I mean, if you're my age, you know it's like some bones just hurt. You just talk about one that's pray for a heal. And then, I tell you, it's funny, you can hurt your muscle, you can hurt, but when your bones just ache, it's just miserable. Yeah. Now, I know you young people know what I'm talking about, unless you broke something, you know. I won't say that, but I was thinking about bones meeting something. but he says this here, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. That means they're just saying words to him. While they daily say unto me, where is thy God? You know what he's saying? He's saying what the enemy is saying is affecting me to the very innermost part of my being. He says, as with a sword in my bones. I mean, it hurts. Mine enemy reproach me daily while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Now, again, this is David, my prayer unto the God of my life. Now, I want you to think about this. When you think about the three things we looked at, I will say unto God my rock honestly that I think he has forgotten me. I will ask God, why am I mourning because of an enemy that has already been defeated? I will be honest that the words of the enemy are affecting me more than the words of God. When you think about, these are three things that David says in his prayer. When you think about those three things, any thought cross your mind about those three things? It's not a trick question, but I may be the only one that has the answer because God gave me the message, but it'll make sense once I tell you. But does anything cross your mind about each one of those things that David says in prayer? It's okay if it doesn't. Anybody? Now think about it. Okay, now here's what crossed my mind. These are three reasons that we don't pray. Anybody? I mean, think about it. When you feel like God has forgotten you, it's not within our nature to run right to God. But David says, that's exactly what I'm going to say in my prayer to the God of my life. You've forgotten me. And when the enemy is causing us grief, and we feel that grief more than we feel the comfort of God, we often sometimes shy away from God. Okay, God, you forgot me. So, you know, I've been saved since 1993, and you don't have to raise your hand, but you ever have something going on in your life and somebody tries to encourage you to pray about it, and you may not, since we know how to be self-righteous, you might not say this out loud, but in your heart you say it's not going to do any good. You may not ever say that God's forgotten you, but that's the real reason. That's the testimony of your heart. Well, it's not going to do any good. Why should I even pray about it? You know, or I asked God about this before, he didn't do it. And so, but David says, no, this is what I'm going to say in my prayer. I'm going to say this. And then he said, I will be honest that the words of the enemy are affecting me more than the words of God. You know, when the words of the enemy are really weighing us down, I mean, when they're cutting us to the innermost part of our being, that can have the tendency to quench our prayer life. Now, is that true? Does that make sense? Anybody? I mean, and so, but And this is significant because David says, rather than this being a turnoff toward his prayer life, this is exactly why I'm going to prayer. And he says something very significant as to why. He said, I will say unto God, my rock. Now, he understood that God was his rock. I wrote it like this in my Bible. The reason that David continually prayed, even though he had thoughts that seemed to show a lack of trust in God, was that he knew within that God was his rock. David knew that he himself was movable, but the Lord was not. So he still knew that God was his rock. And so although the true testimony of his heart was, Lord, you forgot me. He said, well, no, you're the rock. So I've got to talk to the rock. And the Psalms also said, lead me to the rock which is higher than I. And he began to speak to God. Now, I wrote down here, especially when we get to the third one, he says, now the words of the enemy are affecting me more than the words of God. I wrote down here, and you might come up with more, but, you know, the enemy had, there's four voices that the enemy uses against you and me. Number one, he uses the voice of sinners, just the lost world in general. I mean, they're blind, they're lost. I mean, why would a lost friend try to encourage you in your faith? Hey, if you're trying to live a life that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, why would a sinner pat you on the back? And sometimes they do. I mean, because when they're looking for something, they're glad for anything that seems stable. But oftentimes, one of the voices of the enemy that pierces through our soul is a voice of sinners. Second voice that pierces through our soul is a voice of saints. I've said numerous times here, I've been amazed in the past several years I've been saved, the bitterness and the hatred that comes out of mouths of people that claim to know Jesus Christ. And how saved people, by their own profession, really discourage a lot of people trying to follow Christ. And it's not supposed to be that way, but since the Bible said let your speech be always as grace seasoned with salt, and as we speak, we should edify and strengthen. Saints are used, unfortunately, as a voice of the enemy, and then also then there's Satan himself. Satan can speak to you and me, and he can discourage us and, you know, provide those thoughts to us that when, you know, he's one of the first one that says, you know, God doesn't care about you. Every Sunday that preacher talks about God is love. How do you feel the love of God? How has God loved you any better than anybody in the world has? Satan speaks that. And he says, you don't need to talk to him. You don't need to talk to him. Satan does that. But then the last voice of Satan is self. Because even when sinners aren't speaking to us, they get us distracted from God. Even the saints aren't doing it. And even when Satan's not doing it, then we have our own self perspective that can distract us away from God. And then, but David, he's going to prayer. And he says, in my prayer to the God of my life, I'm just going to talk to God. And I'm going to say honestly, Lord, why have you forgotten me? In my prayer life, I'm going to be honest with God. And Lord, I know. Anybody heard the verse before, you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ? Anybody heard the verse before that ye are complete in him? Anybody heard the verse before that death and hell should be cast in the lake of fire? And, you know, but anybody like me been mourning because of the enemy? Because of the world, what Satan does, how we seem to have more power than God does sometimes? And why does the enemy trouble us? And again, you know, it's funny, like I said, you know, I thank God for so many verses to give my life, as like Isaiah 8:13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, let him be your fear, let him be your dread. See, the voice of sinners should not move you from what the Holy Spirit of God leads you to do. And the voice of saints should not move you from what the Holy Spirit of God has led you to do. And the voice of Satan should not move you from what the Holy Spirit of God has led you to do. And the voice of yourself, we all have our self-doubt and our self-things, should not move you from what the Holy Spirit of God has led you to do. And So, but it's amazing. You know, it's amazing. Now I've been saved a little bit. My experience don't mean anything, but possibly you can identify with something of this. Maybe there's been a time in your life God met with you, and you know He did. And man, you were ready to take this. You know God pointed you a certain direction, and you believed in the name of Jesus to allow you to go forward in this direction. And all of a sudden, one voice, either one sinner said something, one saint said something, Satan said something, or you said something, and all of a sudden, that which you knew you heard from your Father that saved you, all of a sudden, you're distracted from that, or you, that victory that you felt by just rejoicing, I know what God told me to do, quenched by a voice. See, David recognized that, and so that is exactly why he prayed. Now I want to go back up, turn to Matthew chapter 5. I want to look at a few verses right here that help us, I hope will help us through this. Now, thinking along the lines where I will honestly say to my rock that God has forgotten me. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, a verse you've heard before probably. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, David is indicating a hungry time. A time when he wants to know God's presence in the situation, because he said, Lord, you forgot me. He's basically saying, Lord, you're not here in this situation. I'm talking to you, but what I'm going through right now, you're not really moving in it. But like, think about this now. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. I remember when I was a little boy, I can remember so many times I say, Mom, I'm hungry. And my mom would reply, I said, boy, you don't even know what hungry is. And you know what? And you know, she was right. And I'm not, except with times of fasting, and even still, I'm not convinced that I really know what hunger is. But you know what? I do know when I've gone without food for several days, the things that I detested, all of a sudden I had an appreciation for. And the strangest things look delightful. But the point I'm trying to make is that what I believe what happens to many believers, God allows you and I to go through some experiences that, okay, David, remember, he knew God was a rock. Anybody know God's the Lord? Yeah. Anybody believe He's the rock of your salvation? Yeah. Okay, but now, if you've ever had some moments in your prayer life that are wanting, or you can identify what David said, he forgot you, you know all those truths, but something happened in a situation where, wait a minute, you were a little bit empty, and when you begin to experience hunger, what Satan tries to tell you and I is there's no food available. And that's why we cease to pray. But David, he said, I'm going to say to the rock of my salvation, Lord, why are you not here? Why have you forgotten me? He was hungry. He was hungry and thirsty for righteousness. God filled him. You and I, it's so easy for us that when that time, when we actually begin to experience what a hunger is for God, that emptiness, that void, that when we're not filled with God, Satan tries to tell you and I, God is no longer available for you. And that's the time more than ever that's important, to go to God in prayer and just be honest with Him. You know, you think, but you don't think about this. This does, by the way, we're so preconditioned with religion that doesn't make sense. Because we want to, well, I guess I should just say me, because I don't know your thoughts, but it seems like that when I approach God, I want to approach Him in such a way where all my thoughts are right in my thinking about Him. And instead of going to God and saying, Lord, why did you forget me? I want to go into His presence, thanking Him for Him being there and for filling me with the Holy Spirit and all the joys that's going on. It doesn't seem spiritual to go to God and to say, God, why are you not here? Why am I living in defeat because of the enemies that are around me? Why am I not just defeat, but I mean, when the Bible uses the word mourning, that's more than just being a little disturbed. When you've really lost somebody, you have an emptiness in your soul that that nothing can fill. And that's mourning. That's what David is talking about. He's talking about an emptiness that but just because of the words of the enemy, and that, man, this victory I should have in Christ that you said, this completeness that you said I have in Christ, these all things that pertain to life and the godliness that you said are mine through the knowledge of Him. The enemy, they keep speaking, where are you? And it's grieving me to no end. And he says, God, why? Like, what's wrong with me? God, why am I know who you are. Why does this bother me? But see, when what Satan tempts you and I to do is that when we're bothered like that, especially because our great intellectual thinking, well, maybe God's just not around like he used to be. And that's what we use. That's when we start using what's called dispensational theology to so we can have a self-righteous faith more than a faith that really believes in the supernatural. So I want to encourage you that if you're here today and your prayer life is waning a little bit, if you were to be honest, you would say to God right now, Lord, why did you forgot me? That's the perfect time to pray. And that's a prayer of a hungry person that knows where the rock is. And then he said, well, why you go mourn? Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Addressing the reality of the mourning that we all often have as believers. Because think about it. Think of how easy we'd all just stand for Christ and witness and talk about Jesus Christ if we believe everybody around us agreed with us, you know. Hey, think about it. Why is it we go to people, our lost friends and acquaintances that God put in our path to reach for Christ, and we get silent all of a sudden because we're afraid of what they're going to say. We don't want those words to pierce through us. And a lot of times, like Carl said, I know for me too, it's pride. Especially, you know, sometimes I've been around lost people enough where, hey, they like me. And then I think, oh, okay, now I got to drop the bomb. Because, you know, and it's funny, you know, people, and the character, if I have any good character at all, it really came from God. And the world continually wants to take any good character that God gave me and put it in on me, Reiner Harper. But if it's good, it came from God. And the reason they want to do it, and then when you try to say that it belongs, I mean, I remember I was with Larry one time having a coffee, and I just said, a woman complimented him, I said, oh, praise the Lord for something. The woman just like, oh my goodness, here we go. I'm like, okay. I mean, I didn't preach Christ to her. I said, no, God, praise the Lord, he did that through me or something like that, you know, and she was so happy just a few moments ago, but when I gave the glory to God, all of a sudden, this great acquaintance just went down the toilet, as we say. But that causes us to kind of mourn. Because you know what? Anybody know Jesus is the Savior? Amen. Anybody know some lost people right now? Anybody know some lost people that you know are going to hell if they die right now? Now, and you know Jesus is the answer, right? And isn't it sometimes you be in their presence and you're mourning? Because, you know, man, because the Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. And you have this grief going on because, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be here to help them. But, Lord, if I start trying to share with them what you did for me, I know how they're going to treat me. It grieves me. I'm mourning of an enemy, and they're not really. They are the enemy of God at that time, because that's what the whole reconciliation is about. We were born again. We're reconciled to God. If they were to die right now, God would view them as the enemy. And there's this mourning that goes on, and you know what happens? You know what happens to believers? People will judge God over that. And save people. And they'll stop praying and they'll stop talking to God over the grief over the enemies of God. And David said, no, that's exactly when I'm going to God. Now, Colossians 2, you show the victory here that God has given. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And let me clarify that. Maybe you've never felt that way, but I sure have. You know, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now the word spoil means to rob. I wrote it down here as to spoil or take one's goods or possessions. Now, we've talked about some great possessions. It's great to be a conqueror. That's something that God gave you. It's great to be complete. But isn't it amazing how philosophy and vain deceit takes away your completeness? Isn't it amazing how we can have a great service, or you can be in your word for yourself, and you feel like you're everything God wants you to be. And then you leave somewhere and a few words of the enemy, and all of a sudden they rob you of that completeness that you thought you had. Oh, and different things, you know. But anyway, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him by baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. That's pretty good. God blots out their sin. And took it out of the way, nailing to the cross. And now this is what God did with our enemies. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The Bible gave the prophecies, all fulfilled. The Bible foretold the birth of Christ through a virgin. The Bible foretold the death of Christ. The Bible foretold the resurrection of Christ. And all the enemies of God tried to stop God's word from being fulfilled, and he fulfilled it all, openly spoiling them, showing that not only was he the Son of God, but he's the Savior of the world. See, that's why no weapon formed against you to prosper, because the righteousness that we depend on isn't from us, it's from God. And so in this passage, it talks about beware lest any man spoil you or take away from you. It also means to corrupt, to cause to decay, and to perish. You know, in your refrigerator, you have what's called perishable goods. God's people are not meant to be perishable, because we are eternal. And what happens is, through philosophy and traditions, and of course traditions of that, or opinions or thoughts passed down orally of men, all of a sudden we can begin to mourn over an enemy that has already been defeated, to the extent to where we no longer want to pray. But David said, no, I'm praying because I am mourning. I'm praying because God's my rock, and I'm bothered by the words of the enemy. That's exactly what I'm going to talk to God, because I know I have the victory. And then lastly, I will be honest that the words of the enemy are affecting me more than the words of God. You know, prayer and Bible reading, they really go hand in hand. And again, I've said it so often, but that's what God has given us, so many wonderful tools to stay in the scripture, listening to it, you know. But David said, you know what? The words of the enemy, they're piercing me to my very soul. And if you're a child of God, you can remember a time when the words of God just filled you to the innermost part of your being. A time you maybe in a preaching meeting, maybe in your prayer closet, you're reading the Bible for yourself, and something just came alive, and you knew you heard it directly from God, and it just filled your entire soul. You were just so joyful. But then all of a sudden now the enemy is saying this, the enemy is saying that. Oh, you'll never do this, you'll never do that. You're not really this, you're not really that. Your life's wasted. You wasted all this time, you wasted this. You're not this. You're not complete. You'll never be complete, you know, until you make this status in life or accomplish this status in life. If you don't have this, your life is not really nothing. If you don't this, whatever, all you pick your own words in there. But isn't it amazing how though can grieve you, the words of Emma can move you to innermost being. And then the Word of God, hear things like the unsearchable riches of Christ, joy and sweet full of glory, and it's not even touching you because you're so weighted down by the words of the enemy. Now, I'm trying to, I've been there. Some people think when I say stuff like that, that's condemning. No, I've been there. I've been to the place to where the words of the enemy are so strong. I know these promises. It's amazing to me. I was lucky. I was trying to think of a verse today, and the Holy Spirit of God filled my mind with a verse. And like I said, when I got saved, the words that God began to fill my heart with that I heard years ago weren't things I memorized. God has placed the word in me, but there's a time that very word would not even touch me. It wouldn't move me. The words of the enemy sure did. But last of all, back in our text, and we'll close with this in Psalm 42. The last point is, I will experience the power of God's command changing my heart and my vision. Because in verse 11 of Psalm 42, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance." Now, the word countenance, by definition, literally is the contents of the body. So he says, you know what? I will praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know, he said, no, it really takes care of my life is God. And so he said, I'm going to experience the Lord commanding his loving kindness toward me in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me. And although the prayer unto the God of my life is, I will say honestly, he has forgotten me. And although the prayer of my life is, God, why am I mourning over an enemy you've already defeated? A temporal person or temporal whatever. I'll be honest that the words of the enemy are affecting me more than the words of God. Yet, I will praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. See, prayer is absolutely essential. But you know what? Prayer is not just something for when you feel spiritual. Prayer is for when you don't feel spiritual. And see, this is so many things. It's funny, I think about religion and how we do things. We think of someone with a great dynamic prayer, with a great prayer life, as someone that is a spiritual giant. But what we just read about David, this doesn't sound like a very spiritual person on the surface. But this is why understanding salvation is so important. If you're born again, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So you're standing before God, and my standing before God is not my great record of service. We stand before God by the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how a man that God said was after his own heart, because God put something in that man, could go before God in prayer and have a prayer that really seemed pretty unspiritual, but actually was a tremendous prayer that led him to victory after victory after victory after victory. And this is so incredibly important, because everything that he said in prayer are some of the very reasons that we don't pray. And because Satan convinces us, again, because we've been led into this false thinking that our standing before God is based on our righteousness rather than his mercy. It is based on his righteousness, but it's the righteousness that he gave us, you know. Like I can, you know what? You know, I can call my dad. I can take my telephone right now and dial the numbers for a man whose name is Alex Harper. And I have complete authority to say dad. And I have complete authority to call him father. And he's been here with some of you. He told you I haven't done everything they told me to do.
And he's told you there have been times that I've not pleased him. But you know what? No matter, I can think of the times that some that probably my estimation, I'm thinking of some that I probably did that hurt him the most. In that moment, I did not cease to be his son, because I'm the son of Alex Harper because of the power of the blood. So, I really want to encourage you to pray, because that is God really does love you. And so if you're here today and you haven't prayed in a while because you feel like David does, God forgot me. Or in another way of saying it, well, prayer really doesn't do any good. I would encourage you to pray. Because you've probably just got to a place where you're hungrier. You finally, for the first time in your life, you really have experienced what hunger is. And you know, people that really know hunger, they have what's called hunger pains. I mean, I never hungered to the point to where I get cramped. My wife, if she misses a meal, she can get a headache over being so hungry. I know some of my children can get that too. I've never even had that. Well, I guess I have a couple times when I fasted, but not like some people get it. But I've never had what I've, like in my innermost being, well, I've heard how people, when they're starving, your stomach shrinks up and shrivels and those kind of pains. Your innermost being is just hungry. And I think this is what Dave was talking about. He's talking about a time in his life where, I mean, he's not just making some statement right here so we can feel good about him. He's being honest with his heart that he's had a time in his life. And this is, you'll find this in more than one psalm, by the way, that where is God? Pray. And it's easy to want to change sides because we're so mourning over the words of the enemies, what they say against us, and not even what they say against us, what they say against God. And it's easy to be honest that, you know, sometimes our being, our values are shaped more by the words of the enemy than they are shaped by God. But God's, like I've said before, God's not offended by your weakness. He's continually saying, come. I mean, God's that lifeguard, you know, and that lifeguard goes out to rescue that weak swimmer. He doesn't say, you dummy, you should have been a swimmer. Or he or she wouldn't be a lifeguard. They go to pull him out. You know, if you're weak today, Can I tell you something? Can I be honest with you? If your prayer life is weak today, can I tell you something? You're at a perfect platform for God to manifest His strength. Because His strength is made perfect in weakness. Because see, we'll never really have I don't know if we ever really have a strong prayer life. We have a better relationship with God. Because see, it's funny how the longer I serve God, I realize how so much is based on comparisons and man-attached values. You want a strong prayer life or some people think a strong prayer life is the number of hours you spend on your knees or on your face. Or some people a strong prayer life by how much or how talk. But a prayer life is not whether it's strong. It's but whether it is honoring to God. Are you submitting to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your prayer? As you got let God lead you. And because the Bible says men ought always to pray, not to faint. And so the Holy Spirit had to do a work in your heart to say, I agree with that. And you have to yield to that. And as you do that, guess what? Satan will try to discourage you from praying. Because God knows that prayer is the best thing you and I could ever do. That's why he said my house should be called a house of prayer. That's why he said you need to have a prayer closet, a time you get along with God. He told the disciples, this kind of cometh only by prayer and by fasting. The supernatural things of life come by communication with God. Don't let what you have determined, what you may think to be a determined reason not to pray, keep you from praying unto God. So you might need today to go to God and say, you know what? Lord, where are you? Lord, why am I grieved over the enemy? And why is it that why am I consumed with what your enemies are saying? Either about me or what they're saying to set the values for my being. Why? Talk to him. He's a loving, wonderful Father. And here's the thing, if you talk to him about it, see, that's the answer. That's the only answer you'll ever really respect. See, we reached a point in religion which is kind of good and kind of bad. Nobody trusts anything that any other being would say. But the good thing about that is, all of us, myself included, have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to determine what God's will is. Because we can live in fear, I preach enough messages and I talk to enough people to know that I've preached whatever amount of time. And right now, even as small as this group is, there's somebody saying, I know what he's really trying to say. And I've talked to people after preaching men's meetings, and they come and talk after the service, asking things, and you can say whatever, but they said, I know what he's really trying to say. I said, no, well, and the reality is, can I tell you the truth? I don't know what I'm really trying to say. I know what I want to say. I want God to touch my life to where I pray, like in a way that really honors him. Because I believe that prayer really makes the difference. And I think everybody judging by spiritual age probably, you know that prayer is important. And you know enough to know the Bible says it really does matter, makes a difference. But may God make us a church that really we come together and we really pray. But it's got to begin in the closet first. And then it'll have more value when we come together. So I want to encourage you, you have a great opportunity and maybe here today and you know your prayer life is everything that God wants it to be. Well, if that's you today, I would plead with you to pray for me. Because I sure want mine to be everything that God wants it to be. And everything that David lived there, I've lived those things myself. And if by chance there'd be one other person that could say, you know what, I felt what David felt. I encourage you to hear the voice of God today and say, Lord, give me a testimony. I said that my prayer unto the Lord my rock. Oh God, my heaven, the scripture says. Father, you know what you'd like to do today. And I trust you've already done it. I pray that your Holy Spirit will make up for any frailties or any things I said in the flesh that was not meant to be said by thee. And oh, my Father, I pray that, Lord, I think of stories in the Bible of the difference of prayers of one person made. And Lord, I just can't help but praise you for thinking about what could really happen if every single one of us truly became the people of prayer that you wanted us to be. Lord, please allow each of us to pray in the way that you mean for us to pray, knowing that if we pray in the way that you mean for us to pray, what you want to accomplish through our lives will truly be accomplished. And oh, my Father, my heart craves that no matter what is said about me, somehow that as I die,
whenever that is, that my life will truly glorify you. Please, Father, make me the prayer person I need to be, that my life will show who you really and truly are. And may your Holy Spirit make that the heart of every single believer hearing this message today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask this all.